welcome to We the People. These past few weeks, we've seen patriotism and nationalism become the subjects of political point scoring. But beyond the rhetoric around patriotism, beyond the lip service paid to our men and women in uniform, what about putting your money where your mouth is? Why is it that the recommendations of the 7th Pay Commission have caused so much concern among the military community, so much so that the three service chiefs actually wrote a letter expressing their concerns? And yet in all this noise around patriotism and nationalism, these concerns are barely getting any attention. The 7th Pay Commission recommendations, if implemented, some in the military community say, could take the military at a rank financially lower than even that of the police force. That's the argument being put by those in the military community who say that this is not just about pay, it's also about izzat, stature and authority. And to take just one figure out that speaks about the glaring anomalies that have existed actually for many years, there's a thing called a hardship allowance that both bureaucrats and soldiers are entitled to. And of course, the 10 soldiers who died tragically at Siachen attracted so much national attention and empathy. But while the 7th Pay Commission actually proposes an increase in the hardship allowance, in the Siachen allowance, and you may not know this, but actually a bureaucrat serving in a place like Guwahati would get significantly more than a soldier, than an officer serving at Siachen. And that's an anomaly that the 7th Pay Commission has not plugged. In fact, some would argue has deepened further. Let me start with General VP Malik, former Chief of the Army. What's the central concern? And why is this not getting more attention? In all the noise, we aren't actually talking about what really matters.
Armed forces, I think everybody agrees, they are the last instrument of the state. And whether they are fighting wars or counterinsurgency, counterterrorism, or aid to civil authorities, law and order situation like what happened in Rohtak recently,
yes,
or when it comes to natural calamities and we have to go to the assistance of the civil. They also, for these tasks, they have to carry out training with the most complex state-of-the-art weapons equipment, and they have to carry out hard training all the time. That is why they are considered the most dependable brand in India, not only by all the advertisers but even the NDTV.
Absolutely.
Also.
Absolutely.
Yes, I feel that they have been given a very raw deal. I have gone through 4th, 5th, 6th pay commissions very closely, but the way 7th pay commission has hurt, it's not just the money. It's about their status, self-pride, because today it is IAS, IPS and Indian Forest Service also. And the Pay Commission writes that their duties are more complex than what the armed forces are doing.
So you're saying
it has hurt the self-esteem, it has hurt the status, it has hurt the dignity. It's not a question of money. Unfortunately, the money today is also carries the status of a particular service.
But it's what it represents. It's the message you're sending out.
It's the message. And that is where it is hurting most.
Let me take this straight to Ratin Roy, who's actually a member of the 7th Pay Commission. Ratin, you know, when you look at Haryana, in particular, that's a glaring example for many when the Jat agitation happens. And I just took a look at the Haryana police website to see the number of police officers there. It's 56,979. And the question is being asked that if 56,979 police officers could not do what 5,300 soldiers eventually were called in to do, if the army is going to become your default first responder, if it's actually going to replace the civil administration in all areas from floods to riots, and now some would say building bridges, then how could the civil administration, or why should it get more? B, your pay commission report actually recommends rationalizing the grading to the extent that the army goes lower than the police and the forest service.
Well, if the army is going to become the first line of civilian operations, then you should dismantle civilian operations and we can become a military state.
But that's what's happening.
Well, if that is happening, then
and the army is not choosing that.
No, if it's not choosing that, it does not then follow that it would be then logical to behave as if the army is de facto a civilian operation. So that I don't think is relevant in the
big what I said was the
I'm responding to her point, sir.
So don't get me wrong. It is the last instrument of the state.
It is the last resort. It ought to be paid well. Now the question is, how much can we pay them? And here, I think the what you said, I think correctly, is the grouse is with relative pay, not with absolute pay. Because this is a stingy commission, with my blessing, because the central government is effectively almost broke. In those circumstances, I think the first concern was to make sure that whatever money is given out in a way that allows everybody, in absolute terms, to get a modest increase in salaries consistent with this budget constraint. Now to come to the question of allowances. I'm actually in agreement with the general. We have a rich risk and hardship matrix here. And we have the executive order, certain things done to improve the salaries of bureaucrats who serve in places like Assam. And the reason that is done, and I'm not agreeing with this logic necessarily, is to say that in their ordinary course of service, the expectation is that they would not face the kind of hardship that the paramilitary or the army would face. That is not an argument for them to be paid more. So if the argument is that the government should, and it can, take our risk and hardship matrix and apply consistent parameters to everybody to make sure that anybody in a particular risk hardship situation is paid the same incremental amount, I'm in favor of that. On the IAS, IFS, IPS issue, you've got the wrong member of the pay commission. I had a dissent note rejecting the idea of increments. I think it insults the IAS. The idea
of any increments,
of any special increments to anybody who you regard as premier is ridiculous.
So it is not in the mandate of the pay commission to actually plug that gap?
We could have tinkered with this and said that executive order should be revised, etc. But in the business of writing a report this size, you don't micromanage. It's a bad habit government has anyway. And therefore, what we have done is we have proposed a hardship matrix. There's a paragraph saying appoint a bunch of experts to go into this hardship matrix and bring everybody consistently into it.
Ajay, you know, you've written a very impassioned piece on this issue of the hardship allowances, and you've actually argued that the biggest gainers are going to be the police service and the forest service officers if this report is implemented. The BJP, by the way, declined to take part in this debate because they said they haven't yet taken a position on how much of this they're going to implement. They don't know that yet. When Ratin argues that it's not relevant what happened in Haryana, a lot of the military would disagree because they will say increasingly we're actually playing civil administration roles without actually getting those benefits.
I agree with a lot of what Ratin said, especially this business of making the hardship allowances on par.
You don't think they should be at par?
I think they should be on par. But where I don't agree with Ratin is when Ratin says that this comparison that the army always makes between the civilian services and things is not a valid comparison. The army should only look after its own benefits and not be worried about what the IAS is getting. But that's not reality.
Yeah. You've actually made the argument that it affects chain of command.
Absolutely.
You've given the example of meetings in J&K where you believe that the police does not take the general seriously because they believe at some ranks they're paid more.
They don't not take the general seriously. When a corps commander calls for a unified headquarter meeting, the director general of police does not attend the meeting because he says, I get paid more than the corps commander.
General Malik, is this true? Is it actually impacting chain of command before I get to Mr. Vasudev?
Yes, of course. It is an authority and it is making the organizations inefficient, which I say it is not in the national interest. I think that is how we should look at it.
Now, we've got both a former finance secretary and a former defense secretary here for their perspective. Mr. Vasudev, let me start with you. How do you see this? You know, Ratin may say that, okay, listen, it's an executive order that a Guwahati is considered a hardship allowance and that allowance is more than Siachen. For ordinary Indians listening to this, you can't wrap your head around it.
Well, I don't know too much about this specific case of hardship allowance, but whatever is being said, I think there may be a lot of merit in that. But I want to make two or three more, I think, larger points.
Yeah.
One, of course, discussing this type of a pay system in government in the backdrop of emotive issues like nationalism and patriotism and all that does not lend itself to very rational discussion because there is very difficult to...
You have to separate the sentiments from the facts.
It's very difficult to argue rationally when you have emotive issues behind you. A lot of these issues are coming out of comparing apples with oranges. You know, every service, every job has its own complexity. To say that mine is more complex, his is less complex, this, that, it is a very difficult exercise to do. Therefore, this idea of a pay commission, which covers the whole gamut of government services, I think is very flawed. That is why I think our last pay commission, sixth pay commission, had recommended that government should not have pay commission,
so
one pay commission for all services.
So have we.
You let also believe that there should be...
This is an absurd instrument. It's absolutely nonsensical.
You're part of it, but you think it's a nonsensical mechanism.
But I was appointed to it. I didn't know anything like the European Commission. No. I went into
what I'm saying is, you should have it sector-wise. You should have one only for defense. You should have only for scientists, one only for teachers. It's very difficult to...
And the military has actually long been asking for its own
what is happening? Not only that, government is having its own fiscal burden, say 0.65 to the GDP. But what we are forgetting is that government is not only spoiling its own fiscal position, but it is also damaging the private sector. You know, I was with your driver today. I asked him, how much salary do you get? He says 14,000. I said, how much does the government driver get? He says 28,000. I said, don't you feel that it's too low for you? He says, kya kare, hamari company ke to paisa kama ke dena padta hai, sarkar to tax hai, jab ghar baithe tax milta hai, jitna bhi deti jaye. So this type of a unskilled workforce, which is 80-90% in government, are being paid salaries which are totally disproportionate to what is happening in the market.
Okay,
so
Ajay,
pay commission, I feel, should also have had one of the terms of reference to compare, as a comparator, what is the salary system outside the government and what is within the government, instead of doing all this interest comparison, defense, this,
from the third pay commission till now, the IAS, by virtue of being a part of successive pay commissions, has solidified this advantage, and now the debate is sought to be sidetracked into issues like, why do we have a pay commission at all? Are pay commissions good or bad? Meanwhile, they keep drawing their salaries. The army keeps getting pushed lower and lower. This pay commission takes the IPS and the IAS.
I don't think that's a fair comment.
I'll allow General Malik a quick comment there, then Mr. Yogendra Narayan.
See, my quick comment is that I don't know why Government of India has not thought of putting a representative from the armed forces in the pay commission.
Exactly.
30% of the people. My grouse today is that even in the empowered committee, they haven't thought of putting any officer from the armed forces serving or retired. Now, what kind of a prejudice is this?
I think that is where Ajay's argument gets solidified, that the perception that it's a kind of IAS stranglehold. And even in Ratan's recommendation that the police and the Forest Service officers should be brought up to the level of the IAS, there's a huge pushback from the bureaucracy.
I dissented from that. So I don't say Ratan's recommendation.
But I'm just quoting the pay commission report.
I have a dissent note.
You're obviously one of the key dissenters.
I disagreed on that.
No, but fair enough. The pay commission does recommend it. I think it would be fair to say that, right?
No, the pay commission recommended nothing. I have dissented. The government is free to choose either.
Okay. But to the larger perception of Ajay is that it's an IAS stranglehold. Please, go ahead.
First of all, I would like to clarify that in the pay commission, no service as such is represented.
So you say it's not even like the IAS is represented?
No, okay. None of the services are represented.
Okay. It just so happens that there is a member from the IAS.
There is no member of the IAS.
Secretary is IAS.
No. She's not a member.
Secretary is IAS.
Okay. Vivek Ray is a member.
Can I clarify?
Yeah, please.
As far as the successive pay commissions have been there, they brought the civil services in parity with what the defense forces were getting.
Yeah.
In the sixth pay commission, we had pay grades and we had a grade pay attached to each pay scale. The sixth pay commission added a new thing called the military service pay, MSP.
Yeah. Yes.
Which was earlier 6,500. It has now been recommended as 15,000. Whereas the civilians have to pay 10% of their pay towards their pension, the defense services have been completely exempted from paying towards their pension. The government bears the entire pension of the defense services. The OROP which has come,
yes,
for the civilians it will be once in 10 years. For the defense forces it has now become once in 5 years. So every 5 years this increase and the difference between the civilians and the defense will keep on increasing.
This is complete financial wordplay. The reality is that in pensions, the jawan goes home with 15 years of service, so that lifetime of service, that an accumulation and contribution towards your pension that these people have, the army simply does not have that option.
So that because 85% of soldiers retire between the age of 34 to 37.
Exactly.
This is something important to remember.
They all join at the same pay grade, which now after this pay commission will be for a lieutenant and its equivalent 56,100 rupees a month at the officer level. So, you know, at the fourth year of service, for some unknown reason, all the other services will get three increments, whereas the military will get one increment.
Yeah.
At the ninth year of service, again they will all get three increments, the military will just get one increment. Again at the 13th year of service, they will get three increments. So by 13 years of service, they have got, for no understandable reason, six additional increments compared to their military counterparts.
Can I add, when we talk about this 10%, then they talk about the jawans. But as far as the officers are concerned, and even the civilian officers are concerned, the defense officers don't have to pay 10%, whereas the civilian, all the civilian officers have to contribute 10% towards their pension. Mm. Secondly, the parity has been brought about, and even today, the Mr. Ratan's pay commission report says that in the existing pay scales for the first 32 years of service, the military get much higher pay than the civilians do. It's only after the 32nd that the civilians take over.
General Malik, you want to
the pay matrix that has been worked out, again, they have not taken into account the stagnation in the armed forces. And armed forces people, particularly JCOs and OR, they have to retire early. Last thing is that most of our people, as compared to the civil services, in their top ranks, they barely do 1 or 2 years or 3 years maximum.
Now, that's what I'm saying. The short life of a soldier in service is something we need to talk a little bit more about. Sir, just give me half a second. Brigadier Williams, go ahead.
I think the core issue that we're discussing today is about mutual respect. So yes. That is being hit very hard.
Yeah.
And if you see right from the beginning, I mean, somehow the degradation has taken place. Sixth pay commission, they actually brought the service pays one rung lower, which really has impacted hugely. And that's why what Ajay talked about, that when the corps commander invites a unified conference, the DG does not land up because he feels that he's higher than the lieutenant general. Yeah. Now that's the issue that really actually are impacting on the respect part of each other's service.
I understand, Ratan, that arithmetic is a very complicated thing. I understand, Mr. Vasudev, that sentiment has to be separated from statistics. But this statistic, if it's true, that the hardship allowance of a soldier is less than that of a bureaucrat in Guwahati, will not go down well.
There is no hardship allowance for a bureaucrat in Guwahati.
It's called special duty allowance.
It's
called SDA.
Are you comparing free rations with that then?
It's not a question of free rations.
Don't compare different.
It's 30%.
Do not compare different.
What the CPC is recommending.
Free rations are not allowed.
I think, excuse me, I'd like to clarify this point. A bureaucrat sitting, including the IFS, that is the Forest Service or the IPS, sitting at Guwahati or Shillong, is entitled to 30% of the allowance, which come on 60,000 rupees.
Special duty allowance was started in the late 80s for a very specific reason, that the Northeast was not getting enough people. Not just about bureaucrat, it applies to everybody who goes and posting there at all levels.
Special, what special duties are being done today in Guwahati?
What is your argument?
No, my argument is it is not comparable with the hardship allowance. Like, you don't compare special duty allowance with the free ration or 50% flight concession. Don't compare different things, apples and oranges.
It is something with the SDA.
As you like to talk about officers who suddenly bring in the Jawan. You are actually fighting for the officers, not the Jawans.
I'll allow Ratan to come in there and then
here is very tragic. It's what has happened to this country is that the state, and I'm a slightly younger generation than my colleague of the Pay Commission, really has become both infantile and weak. So here we are, unable to enforce a chain of command by authority. And we are relying on relative pay and envy as an instrument. Can you imagine this happening anywhere in the world? In a state that's really credible? Think about it.
No, is your argument that the relativity should not matter?
We can't get our civilian officers to go to Guwahati, also we have to pay them more. Which means we're incapable of using the chain of command to move them there. Gosh. So the problem here is an infantile and weak state.
No, but nothing to add to your point. As collector Goa, my collectors drew more than me. Hmm. I directed education in Delhi. My additional director drew much more than me.
Yeah.
They listened to me.
Ajit, you want to come in there? Then I want to go.
I don't have a personality.
Somewhat flawed that people don't want to go to the Northeast, so therefore they have to be paid. But the army wants to go to Sachin, I assume. The army wants to serve in the Northeast. The army is just dying to get shot in Nagaland. The army. What logic is this?
I think it's fair to allow you an intervention there because you're arguing on the unpopular side of the argument. I'm happy to be one against 50. I'm equal to that.
You see, our job descriptions are different, right or wrong. Accordingly, it offers
but you know, in an army that is short of officers, you have to incentivize.
But the IAS is 35% short of officers too. So,
okay, let me bring in Wing Commander Hanfi. You've done duty at Siachen. Why is this, you know, this civilian military divide is actually more dangerous than we are acknowledging. It's actually really bad, and it weakens. If the state is weak, Ratan, it weakens the state even more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
It is really dangerous to make a comparison like this. And in reply, I can only say one thing.
Yes.
I would like these people who are trying to make that comparison to first go and experience what happens when you are operating in Siachen.
I think what Ratan has asked, and we have not answered, is why does it matter what the other guys earn?
Exactly.
See, earlier things were quite different. The environment wasn't as aware as it is today. And therefore, I'm talking about the respect to be brought back to some kind of a parity. You've got to look into these aspects hugely.
A soldier is asking, why am I getting this much? Because now with social media, we have
Can I just bring in Meeta from the perspective of, you know, you're an actor, but you're a 4G daughter. And, you know, this is a conversation that happens at dining tables across the country, right? How do you see this? Your father's seen action, your father's seen
war. My father's seen action in all the three wars, including the 62 Chinese one.
Yeah.
I was just a year old, and there was my mom and thousands of young women who were only 23 standing on a station with little babies in arms, saying bye-bye to men they had just married a year and a half before, not knowing if they were going to come back. The armed forces is the only place where you sign up to die. I hate the idea that the, you know, when people say the army is browsing for money, army men are also men. They have families, they have wives, they have parents, they have children, and they're not asking for, you know, freebies for themselves. They need to look after these kids. When my dad retired at the age of 50, and he had a pension of 700 rupees, and he had retired on a salary of 2,000 as a full colonel. And he had three children to put through, and the only house we managed to get on rent was costing us $1,000. You know, can you imagine what it did to a man of 50? He was younger than what I am today. I'm 55. And he had got all this responsibility and no money. And if he had been the kind of guy who thought about how he should collect for his family before he retires, he wouldn't have been the great soldier that he was.
Yeah.
So soldiers are not made of worrying about material stuff. You know, they're not made about how much money should I have when I retire, should I send my kids abroad or not. We couldn't buy a pair of Wrangler jeans. We couldn't get a music system home. Everybody was getting all that. The civilians were getting it. And it was so horrible, because when my father retired, he couldn't even take another job. Because a real army guy cannot take another job where he has to go and work in a factory and bribe people and do all that, what my dad called the bloody civilian life. You know? There are people who are not cut out for lying, wheeling, dealing, ass-licking. They are people who are cut out to be straightforward, honest, and if duty calls, they're cut out to die, and they are ready for it at any point of time. And to expect that when a man like that retires, he has lots of job options because he's only 50, is rubbish.
And it's so important, you know, we haven't spoken about this, Ratan, enough, the short tenure that you actually have. That, you know, Navdeep Singh, who's a very well-known lawyer, he sent us a figure today. And he said, I'm taking his word for this, Ratan, but he said the pay achievable by 100% of the IAS in 16 years of service is what 1% of the people in the army will make in 32 years.
Look, that is absolutely, that's probably true.
And again, I'm saying it's not about the money.
No, it's not about the money. It's not about the money.
What is it about? Being able to.
They want to die and they have 250 jobs after retirement.
You're a different kind of guy who signed up for a job where you're willing to get killed at any point of time in life.
Yes, I take your point, madam. How much more would you like them to be paid?
No. I think it needs to be drummed home because you've forgotten it.
No, I haven't forgotten it.
I mean, every country has.
Every Bollywood movie.
You know what? It's Bollywood only does it. Yeah. Bollywood does
PR is excellent.
And people cry and all that stuff.
So how much more can they be paid?
See, all the anthems of army people.
Because this is a bit disingenuous.
Wait, let me make my point.
When we are discussing something about, you know, which should be realized actually about pay, and saying that there's a class of people ready to die.
Can I just make a point here? Because two, three of you have said, we can't sentimentalize what needs to be a cold discussion about arithmetic. And at one level, I take your point. We want to have a nuanced, intelligent, honest conversation. However, Ratan, for a force that used to say it's about izzat and not about the salary, for a force where the socio-economic profile of the military has actually changed over the years, because a lot of people from poorer households are joining for a more secure lifestyle. So economics does matter.
Of course.
And while the izzat matter, the stature matters, people do have to earn a living.
Yes.
And the fact that 85% retire between the ages of 34 to 37, and the fact that this is the only service where you do potentially sign up to die, yes, you do it with your eyes open, you do it, does that not make it impossible to separate sentiment from the conversation, especially when there's such political tokenism around soldiers otherwise? Doesn't it matter what we pay them?
It does matter what we pay them. My question is very simple. How much? On that argument, I must pay them.
Let someone take the how much. How much would be... I get what he's saying. He's saying that if somebody signs up to die, no money is actually enough.
How much comes into play?
I will give you a figure. The military will be happy to accept what this pay commission has given him, provided the same rates are applied to the IAS, the IFS,
and why not?
About this business of sentiment versus logic.
Yeah.
If the army decides to get logical tomorrow, today, and they say, who is this country?
We'll become Zimbabwe.
Who are these people? Who are we fighting for? You won't have the armed forces.
And I'm hearing Shakti saying something there. Really? Shakti,
you can do that.
Let Shakti respond.
The percent, 1% of the army, no, 1% of the armed forces officers and the IAS, are comparing? Compare likes. Navdeep Singh's point to you was wrong.
Yeah.
1% of the armed forces
again. Let him speak.
A small part of the civil services, right? The IAS recruits 100 people a year. The army. Armed forces could 700. The total army is much bigger. So 1% is a bad combination.
So pay them more.
I'll go with Ajay's point of equality.
Yeah.
Why don't you work out cost to company?
Equality is a good benchmark. No, 1 minute. A cold question was asked. How much is acceptable? Right? And some people who are sentimental would argue that military should actually get more. Correct. The answer you're hearing here is just give us the same.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, the world over, the private sector and everywhere else, what is determined for compensation is what is the cost to company. You have to see what is the cost to government. We are talking about individual allowances here and individual allowance there. I am sure if the cost to the government of an armed forces officer is offered to the civilian officer, he will happily take it.
Happily.
You know, the cost to government is so much more, but he will very happily take it.
Okay.
But that's
a hypothetical.
That is
the professional way in which remunerations are determined the world over.
Yeah.
That what is the cost to company or cost to government. I don't know why the Pay Commission has not tried to work out what is the cost to government of different services. That would have been very illuminating. I just want to make a second point.
We learn, all right, but I said it's very sad that you want to corporatize the army.
You're not corporatizing the army.
It is like that if you talk about CDC system for the army.
You are willing to quote the US Army's rate.
I was responding to a question that how much?
Yes.
I said how much has to be computed on the basis of cost to government. You know, we are forgetting what is the cost to government. It is coming to 0.65% of GDP.
No, but by the fiscal route.
I want to make a second point. Okay.
Okay.
Second. There was a discussion with regard to people retiring early. You said 80% retire at this age.
Yes.
World over, the pension system is determined on the basis of the longer you serve, the more is your entitlement for pension. Here we are arguing the other way, that the shorter we serve, the more should be.
No, sir. They don't retire at this age because they choose to.
No, but
that's to keep your army young.
No. Barkha, it is the same in every country.
Okay, can
but
we just
we have to do the other argument?
Sir, now, you know, it's a very difficult thing when you discuss something related to the military because sentiment is an inevitable component. And it's, you know, I don't know how to separate it because most soldiers value honor, Ratan. Now, here is the father of somebody, a military man himself, who actually died during duty at Siachen. Young men, as they often are. Aap bataiye, Flight Lieutenant J.P. Sharma sahab, paise ke baare mein zyada important hai ki izzat ek cheez hoti hai. Lekin Meeta ne jaise kaha, families bhi hoti hai. And when you lose a young son, it's, yahan pe ek sawal hai, koi money compensate nahi kar sakta. लेकिन फिर भी जहां शॉर्टेज है ऑफिसर्स की आप क्या बोलना चाहेंगे हैविंग लॉस्ट अ सन
इन दिस रिस्पेक्ट आई वुड लाइक टू से दैट मनी इज नॉट द क्राइटेरिया मनी इज नॉट इंपॉर्टेंट एट ऑल वी शुड कंसीडर the person's feeling who had lost their beloved one, which I could feel. Since I have lost my 25 years son, I was hungry of the respect which is being given, and I feel more important to
respect is more important than the money. But here, sir, it's also being said that money represents, is one part of how much a soldier is respected. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree on that. Why? Because I have seen it. Okay, it is only for a short while when the casualty happens. It was only for a couple of days, you can say about week or so. Everybody was asking, we will be compensating, we will be giving these.
No, but I want to ask you, do you believe soldiers and bureaucrats have to be paid the same?
No, not at all.
So soldiers should be paid more.
100%, because we being the next of kin of those people who were there, and what we were apprised of, how they are spending 23 days even, is not at all possible.
Let me get General Malik in and we'll take questions. If you have questions, I'm taking questions now. General Malik,
I just wanted to, you know, mention about the cost to the government. You said it's a very major factor.
Globally accepted principles.
Yeah. I don't decide what should be the strength of the armed forces. It's the government which decides. So if you require 1.3 million strong armed forces, I mean, it's not the chief of army staff or chief of the air staff or something. Now, if you have approved that and you think that they are needed, give them what is their due. How can you say that this is cost to the government is more, and therefore, because the IS number is much less?
I am not saying that. I think you have not got my point.
You said the cost to the government.
I am not saying cost to the government for army as a whole.
I said cost
to government of the individual person.
It is the soldier who fights, not the guns.
The other point I want to make is that, yes, as Ajay said, I am also not for money. But I am definitely looking for status, because I can have just 1 second.
No, he's saying that the two are linked. That's the argument.
The two are linked.
Yeah, I'm saying they are linked.
Yeah.
Because I have seen in army headquarters, in command headquarters, there are people who have started getting more pay, civilian officers, and now they think that their status is higher than the comparative army officers.
So was it about the economic limitations of your growing up as a daughter of a soldier? Or was it about respect?
As a growing up army kid, I never felt any economic limitations. In fact, I felt great pride in my father's uniform because three wars had been fought. Yeah. And at that time, the kind of stature the army had was fabulous. Like, dad would be in a military uniform and he was like God.
But do you see the money linked to the respect? Because that's the
question. Today, times have changed. Everything has changed today. Harshad Mehta does a scam and he's people seek his autographs. That never happened. See, the times have changed. When I was growing up, honor, respect, thing for the country. I didn't even know how to argue my first money fees when I started acting, because money was never talked in the house. It was all about something else. As far as logic goes, if you say sentiment, the army is driven by sentiment. They're driven by patriotism. When I was 17 years old and I went and stood in a line for a cinema ticket and I got my butt pinched by some bloody civilian standing behind me, I came and cried. I said, Dad, are these the people you were going to get killed for three times in the war? You know, you start asking those questions. Who is this country? Who are these people? When you get out of there, out of that...
But you're almost talking about civilians as a different universe. And isn't that dangerous in a country like ours?
These are not two separate universes. No, I know. But I'll tell you...
I know it could feel like that.
I know. It felt like that. But what was... Why it felt like that was beautiful. Because an army officer, when he gets posted into a place which is not his own, he actually bonds with the people.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say to Ratan is you can't divorce sentiment from this conversation. You're getting to come to you in just a second. I'll take a question here. Yeah.
How come people protesting the Jat reservations are given more importance when people are protesting for the OROP peacefully? So are we advocating violence in the country? Are we?
So you're saying violent Jat agitators were given more and immediate attention than the OROP? That's actually a very fantastic Yogendra Narayan. I think that's where the cynicism starts setting in.
I have 2 points to make. One is what Ajay said. I would like to tell him that the pay commission has made same pay scales both for civilians and the defense forces. So your first point is that give us the same pay scale as a civilian.
Same pay scales. The whole pay has been skewed by a system of allowances and benefits.
Secondly,
which,
we also tend to confuse between the colored service of the Jawans, because when you come up with the comparison color service of the Jawans, then you suddenly come to the IAS. That whereas the Jawans get 15 years, that's true for the defense officers also.
Tactics.
Jawans also do color service only of 15, 16 years, and the army officers go up to the ranks of 52 age, 56 age, 58 years. So let's compare apples with apples. I mean, you can compare Jawans with the paramilitary forces and say that they should get higher pay than the paramilitary forces.
Yeah, Ajay,
are getting.
That. Ajay, you want to take that? Then we'll not compare.
Secondly, I wanted to also state one thing simply, that we are all civilians. When we get into defense, we are recruited from the civilians, and for some time, for let us say 50 years, 30 years, we become defense officers. Similarly, from the civilians, we get IAS officers, we get civilian officers, we work for 30, 35 years.
So you're saying the civilian military divide is not something
it when she talks about pinching, I mean, it can be done anywhere.
You can't do civilians.
And please don't call bloody civilians. I resent this word because you come all of us come from the civilians.
This is a wrong word.
I think the point is there is a kind of generalization.
I will not take it from you.
Sorry, use the word.
I will not take it from you, madam. I resent that insinuation about my father's patriotism, and that is what you're insinuating when you make points like this. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it is either you have to have a conversation on this hysterical basis about pay.
I'm not being hysterical.
No, you are. The point when you say bloody civilian.
I was just quoting how dad would.
No, but
you
know, that attitude, it tells me a lot about the armed forces.
Well, that attitude might tell you a lot about how the armed forces are treated once they're out of the
armed
forces.
No, but it is equally dangerous.
After they become civilians, no.
It is equally dangerous.
I'm not in Pakistan.
I apologize for that. Okay, because it wasn't meant in that spirit.
Let's move on. You've clarified that. Ajay, take that point that Mr. Narayan was making.
The point I'm making is that depending on the figures that you marshal, you can make any argument.
Yeah.
The figures can be made to speak anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
For example, the whole basis of the logical, this fallacious argument that the pay commission, including Ratan, has marshaled and put into its report is that military service pay, which is a fixed amount, which is put into the package to compensate the military for what is called the intangibles of military service.
Yeah.
The fact that you are cut away from your family, you cannot attend family functions, your children grow up without you and so on. That is added on to the salary while comparing it by people who are.
But you know, Ajay, somebody could say a district collector in a Naxal infested area is also going through that same hardship.
But
just
he is also getting his special duty allowance. He's also.
Just putting out a point.
One second, Barkha. Every army in the world, the major armies, have this.
Which
thing.
Part is the fallacy?
The British army has what is called X factor pay.
Yeah.
And it has been studied by the pay commission and quietly buried in one corner of the report. The X factor pay is for exactly the thing. The civilians don't get it, the military gets it.
Right.
For the exceptional
circumstances. No, but you're saying it can't be counted as part of the financial value?
Barkha, a district collector in an actual infected area will serve his tenure as district collector and then go back to the safety of Delhi, and for most of the rest of his service he will be in a relatively safe job.
But you will be in Siachen all your life, right?
No, we will not be in Siachen, but we will certainly be in Jammu and Kashmir for about half our service.
All of you will live in Siachen.
You are not allowed to fight terrorists.
If you look at the opinion within the room, it's not difficult to find out which side of this debate India is on. And the reason is because the IAS is perceived all over India as an incompetent, inefficient organization and not the organization that, according to the pay commission report,
Shakti serves
in special
service. See, to. We are the IAS faces people day in and day out. You guys are lucky to be behind in cantonments, extremely lucky to be behind cantonments. The fact remains, the countries who have opted for the military on the street, Zaire, Zimbabwe, Pakistan's per capita income was 50% higher than us, is 50% behind us. Please learn
from
the
how is any of this about
the
Pakistan?
No, no, the very respected, I'm glad for it. I'm glad the Indian Army is very well respected, unlike the Pakistani Army, because the Indian Army stays in the cantonment, does its job professionally.
But where did this come from? Where did your question come from?
I object to that part.
Madam,
there's no sarcasm.
Okay, can I come in here now, please? We are running out of time. Give me your last comments, General.
I mean, because we are secular, because we are apolitical, is that to go against us?
No, it's go in favor. I'm saying
that's what I'm trying to say.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But the way you have said it, you have put it in the other way. Why are you comparing us with Pakistan Army?
No. Yeah. Sir, just half a second. I have Subedar Rajinder Singh Suhag. Subedar sir, yahan baat ho rahi hai ki kitni jaldi फौज में रिटायर होना पड़ता है, उसके बाद क्या होता है, तो आप बताइए अपनी जिंदगी के बारे में कि कितने साल की कितनी उम्र पे आपको रिटायर कर दिया?
मैं जो है फौज में सुधार मेजर बनकर जो है मैं 29 ईयर सर्विस में रिटायर हो गया। मेरी उस टाइम एज थी 47 ईयर्स
जी।
आने के बाद में मेरे बच्चे जवान हुए, उसमें जो है मेरे को जो है वो पैसा कुछ मिला था 12 लाख के समथिंग, तो बच्चों की पढ़ाई में भी लग गया, नहीं तो मैं मकान बना नहीं पाया, ना बच्चों को सेटल करने पाया। सर्विस मेरे को 47 इयर्स मेरी सर्विस एज हो गई थी, अप टू 50 इयर्स अगर सर्विस देते हैं, और 3 साल मेरे को किसी ने नौकरी नहीं दिया।
क्यों नहीं दिया?
क्योंकि जो है मेरी 50 इयर्स एज होगी उसके बाद में फिर नौकरी नहीं मिली। अभी जो है उस नंबर पर जो है मेन चीज क्या है, हमारे ओआरओपी के लिए हम तो बैठे हैं। हमारा कहना मतलब ये है, हमें ओआरओपी की जरूरत नहीं है, हमें गवर्नमेंट जो है 60 इयर्स ऑफ सिक्योरिटी दे दो, मतलब 60 साल तक हमें कोई नौकरी करा लो या कुछ भी करा लो, हमें ओआरओपी नहीं
है। बात ये है कि रिटायरमेंट के बाद भी कुछ होना चाहिए ना,
होना चाहिए, कुछ करने के लिए चाहिए। जब हमें कुछ मिला ही नहीं करने के लिए तो हम क्या करें? हालांकि मैं एक टेक्निकल आदमी हूँ, मैं जो है नर्सिंग टेक्नीशियन था, हॉस्पिटल में मैंने जो है कोशिश की, जो है ना एक दो हॉस्पिटल में प्राइवेट जॉब किया, तो हार्डली दे आर गिविंग जो है ना 10,000 और 15,000। आप बताइए जो है ना इसमें आप ऐसे किसी जैसे दिल्ली में ही 15,000 में आप क्या करेंगे? आपको मकान भी नहीं मिल देगा जो है जो उसके लिए, और इस उम्र में अकेले रहकर हम खाना भी नहीं पका सकते, कुछ नहीं कर सकते।
तो आप है इकोनॉमिक सिक्योरिटी की 60 साल की उम्र?
यस, इकोनॉमिक सिक्योरिटी दे दो हमें, जो आरोपी नहीं।
इसी
बरखा, आई एम कर्नल पुष्पेंद्र। आई वेंट ऑन इनडेफिनेट हंगर स्ट्राइक ऑन टू डेथ फॉर व्हाट? फॉर वन रैंक वन पेंशन।
Can I ask you to react to what that young girl said there, that the Jat agitators of Haryana got more attention and faster attention?
We are sitting at Jantar Mantar and agitation is still going on from last 9 months.
Yeah.
And I am so sorry to say that this government has given one rank, one pension, but you can't call it one rank, one pension. It is one rank, many pensions.
Okay. I want to just, I think the point, I mean, I really like what the Subedar said actually, that it is about economic security. What do? You're retired at 47, you're retired sometimes even younger than that. What happens after that? Couple of questions from the audience, the last one.
I have one of my friend who has 6 members in his family who are in the armed forces. They own 2 Mercedes and 1 Jaguar. What's happening here in this debate is that we are getting aside of the fact that people are getting properly paid being the being member of the armed forces, but ma'am, we are ignoring the fact that becoming an IAS officer takes a whole lot of hard work.
Really?
And being a soldier, I think. We are ignoring the fact that becoming an IAS officer is tough. We are ignoring
really?
That.
Really?
Okay. Before he gets clobbered, let's
get I'm Ishan. I have seen my father serve the Siachen and, you know, risk his life every single day. And I've seen officers who are always in a state of no war, no peace. And with that kind of a situation, you know, this disparity is what is causing the resentment. And I can't understand what would the country do with demotivated soldiers. I mean, that is what we should all be, you know, scared of.
And the disparity matters to you because
the government is creating the disparity. At least we don't want the absolute pay scale. The pay scale, I agree, may not always be enough, but at least remove the disparity. That is what is causing the resentment.
Okay, I'm going to give everybody 30 seconds for closing comments. Wing Commander Hanfi, will start with you. 30 seconds, everybody, by the clock. I'm out of time. Yeah.
Talking about the larger point, okay, we have listened to everyone. Talking about the money part, the armed forces also have their ethos. What all this is doing is it is striking at the ethos, and it is bound to affect the efficiency, if not today, maybe in times to come. It needs to be arrested today.
Meeta, 30 seconds.
Yep, exactly. If we don't have to go into facts, figures and any of that stuff, if we just look back at the history of India in the last 60 years, we can have maybe a government that doesn't work, we can have statesmen who don't work, but if we have an army and an armed forces that don't work, we are in serious trouble.
Okay.
Audience comment here.
Okay. As an economics faculty, the seventh pay commission, that the first thought that comes to my mind is it financially prudent? So I agree with Mr. Bratton by saying that, you know, I don't think that we have enough finances. However, I come from a state from J&K. I see the struggle what my armed forces do. So when he says absolute is what should matter, I say the opposite. Relative is what should matter, not the absolute.
Okay. On that note, Shakti Sinha, your last 30 seconds.
Everybody, especially the armed forces, the life they lead, require a life of dignity. And therefore, it should be serious scientific basis. Good HR principles should be used to determine pay and allowances by themselves.
Mr. Vasudev, 30 seconds.
I think this relativity of salaries and compensation is the main issue. It's not the absolute amount. And I think it will be a great service, and it will lead to a lot of intelligent debate if the government were to come out with figures on cost to government of individual people, officers at joint secretary level in government, army, colonel, brigadier, what is the cost to government? If all that is brought to public domain, I think that people will be able to have more enlightened discussion on what is the relativity of your government.
When we are talking about respect for each other, we are also talking about the fact that disability pensions have not even been talked about.
Yeah, that's a whole separate.
That's a whole separate kind of
thing. Mr. Ryan.
We must understand that the defense forces are very well respected in this country. All of us respect them. And they should always get adequate pay and salaries. But this comparison always that occurs, like Ajay said, with the civilians, or he calls IAS people incompetent. The more you say that, the more divide you create.
Okay, Ajay, last 30 seconds.
I agree entirely. We should calculate the cost to company. We should say that that Jawan sitting in Jammu and Kashmir in some picket, his warm coat costs too much, withdraw it. His rifle costs too much, give him a cheaper one that doesn't fire.
Yeah.
We must calculate our army based on cost to company. For a secure and wonderful nation.
Okay, that's it.
It's a very retro and infantile thing to do this tutu mai wewa relative pay. Lead your own lives. Become soldiers, demand pay on your own merits, and I think much of what Ajay says is merits there.
Yeah.
But this infantile nonsense that people are doing, tu, main, IAS, army, colonel, brigadier, tu utha, main utha, the only solution to this is a different society that thinks differently.
Jared, I'll let you get the last word.
Look, I have seen the status of the soldiers going down successively after 4th, 5th, 5th, 6th pay commission, but to me, in that respect, 7th pay commission has been a killer.
What about teachers?
Because I'm not bothered about the money, but I'm worried about the status, about the ethos, about the way he fights, and that is going to affect not only the morale of the soldier, it is going to affect the efficiency of the Indian armed forces, and that is going to affect the nation also.
And those are strong words. We leave you here. We've tried to have a complex conversation here. One, I think, that needs to be had with much greater transparency by the government that is not at all engaged in the public domain with this issue. Let it not go the way the OROP debate went, because we have to remember that these kind of divisions and resentments, even if, Ratan, you call them infantile, and you may choose to, Meeta may say they're absolutely inevitable and legitimate, they're dangerous either way. If you have an angry soldier, that is not good for the country.
Leave it there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.